Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and I, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Hold tight where the leather fits. Watch out when he starts to twist. What the daddies used to tell them boys, how to ride them boats. I got a jingle in my jeans, slow places in between, and I'm leaving old Salt Lake with a push and a pull. 10-4, buddy, come on back. A horse trainer on a Cadillac. Yeah, we're talking to the cowboy, living the cool to feel. Chugga-lugging up one side, sliding down the other. Well, I'm a lover of the other side of the hill. Turn up that radio. Don't wanna think about a rodeo. Don't wanna think about a roundup up in old Cheyenne. Well, it's a crazy circuit. Harvest till you work it. Turn down that sound, boys. Let's get up and check the skin. 10-4, buddy, come on back. A horse trainer on a Cadillac. Yeah, we're talking to the cowboy in the coop to fill. Chugga-lugging up one side, sliding down the other. Well, I'm a lover of the other side of the hill.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Dave with Redneck and Eyes Radio. Welcome in. Give us a call, 515-602-9731. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio Live. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit one. We're on blogtalkradio.com. That's where we're at. You can listen to all the past episodes just clicking on the blogtalkradio.com website and then searching for Redneck and Eyes. That's where we're at, and you can see all the past episodes of that. Also, don't forget to go check out our website. That's redneckandeyes.com. That's where you can find links to all of our social media accounts, including our YouTube channel, which we're very proud of, and I appreciate everybody subscribing to that. And also, links to all of our great sponsors. One of the great sponsors I can mention is Trucker Tools. You can check them out at truckertools.com or download their app from your app store on your cell phone. It is one of those Trucker Tools all-in-one app. It's got load booking, load tracking, all that kind of good stuff. Plus, even if you don't do any kind of load booking or anything like that, you could still download the app and use it to find truck stops, parking, and Walmarts, planning your route for fuel stops and rest areas, stuff like that. So check it out, truckertools.com, Trucker Tools app, the app for truckers. Appreciate everybody's support of Trucker Tools and Redneck and Eyes. So batten down your hatches, folks, because it's coming. We saw a lot of activity today between Russia, China, and the U.S. and Europe kind of deal where, so Russia is officially out of all the treaties. So there are no existing treaties with Russia and the United States at all. And I remember now going back, nobody has said this in the news, but I'm thinking this is the correct one, that this is the last treaty that they signed. This is the one back in the day where Hillary Clinton went over there and played, you know, remember the Office, what was it, Office Max or Staples, that's right. Staples, get it done, push the button. It was a red button. Everybody bought the button. And then you could buy the red button that had different phrases on it. Well, they had a phrase written in Russian that said restart. And that was not the correct word. I forgot what they said, but it was like that. That's not the correct translation of that word. And everybody made fun of her. And she was over there doing all that. So everybody was laughing and everything. But I think that was back in, because Obama was elected in 2008. They said this treaty was signed in 2010. So, yeah, that's about right, right? So, in the trucking news, there has been some updates on, like, you know, they're looking for ways to improve the drivers, like, you know, what do you want to call it? Driver retention. And then there was one here. It says that millions in federal funding to train onboard new truck drivers. What's that mean, onboard? What do you mean? The one for a freight employee. It says, I forgot this guy's name. Ajit Singh is investing the time to train for a new career in trucking, and Canada's federal government is investing in him through the journey. I guess this is Canada. It says trucknews.com. This might be based in Canada. Let me scroll all the way down here. Sometimes it'll tell you, like, their address, stuff like that. And contacts. No address. Yeah, Toronto, Ontario, mailing address. So, yeah, okay. So this is a Canadian deal. And they say millions of federal funding to train on board new truck drivers. It says this person's trying to get a job or trying to train to be a truck driver, and Canada's federal government is investing in him throughout the journey. The one for a freight employee is for the first candidates to benefit from $43 million in federal funding to train and onboard and onboard up to 2,600 new truck drivers and other industry workers through the Trucking HR Canada's Career Expressway program. It's going to be really good, the former dock supervisor said Monday morning as the program was formally announced behind him. It says fleet trainers and mentors teach me how to tackle the day-to-day situation, how to be on the road carefully and responsibilities. He looks forward to a job that pays well and offers a sense of responsibility. So he's starting a new job. Okay. And so what's going to happen here? It says the program itself offers up to $20,000 to prepare each truck driver, with up to half of that available for entry-level training and a similar amount to fund onboarding, mentoring, and finishing programs. Another $3 million in funding has been provided to help Trucking HR Canada update a national occupational standard for entry-level and occupational-level truck drivers and use census data to update labor market information data. It says, while the actual cost of establishing a job-ready truck driver is closer to $25,000, the federal funding helps take the edge off, said one of the freight CEOs, David Carruth. Welcoming the initiative. Graduates of the entry-level driver training program still need further support, he stressed, referring to other layers that include mentorships and internal training programs. Okay. So basically, it looks like what they're doing is that all the costs that goes in to training, that Canada is going to flip the bill for that. That's what it sounds like to me. And that might be all well and good. In the United States, it's called welfare. Right. What we know, what we've seen in the past, if anybody doesn't remember, this is how student loans got started. And this is how they ended up not funding this. They stopped it. Usually, if you were, you know, down on your luck and you qualify for some kind of, financial assistance, the government would pick up the tab. In fact, they probably still do in some cases. What you start doing is that as soon as they do that, as soon as they say, OK, we'll pay up to $10,000 or $20,000. Well, guess what? The school just increased its fee to $40,000. You know, now you got to come up with the rest of that. And they'll say, oh, yeah, we'll finance that for you. You make payments, you know, that kind of thing. And then, of course, if you don't qualify, which means that let's say that you are, you know, doing well in a job that really you don't like and you'd rather be truck driving because you say it pays more money. You know, just like this guy here. I mean, in the United States, he probably wouldn't qualify because he already has a job. And in the United States, they were only funding it for people out of jail, or people that, you know, were previously unemployed for a long period of time, stuff like that, because it was an employment program. It's not, you know. So I can see this kind of, you know, doing good, but also doing bad at the same time. You got to be careful, right? Because when government throws money at something, it doesn't really get better. It gets worse. And that's what we got to watch out for. The training. I mean, what I would say, if the government wants to pay people, pay the trainers. Pay people, you know, to be trainers that will say, hey, we got to do a good job. You know, pay people to police the trainers, you know, because that's what we don't have. We don't have, you know, you go to school. I mean, I guess there might be oversight for some of the schools, but probably not that much. And then the schools actually tell them, you know, All we need to do is get you to pass the test. Once you pass the test and get your CDL, then the school will teach you everything else. Or not the school, but the company that you go to, because they're going to send you with a trainer for a month and a half or 2 months. You know, so that's what you got to do, right? So I would say that they're probably going to try to get more funding for the companies that will, you know, because this $20,000 is probably going to go to the school, and they're probably going to try to get another, and the school probably ain't even charging that much. I think, I mean, it'll probably only be about $10,000 or $12,000 to go to a school. And, well, Canada might be different, but, you know, it says this funding will provide training subsidies and wage subsidies to support the recruitment, training, and onboarding of up to 1,400 new truck drivers and 1,200 workers in other in-demand occupations in the trucking sector. And again, you know, it's kind of weird that I just to tell you this, the whole thing about this whole stuff, you know, they say, this is what it will do in this thing. You ever find those studies where they actually do a study after the program had gone on for a year, and they said, well, within the next year, it'll do 1,400 new truck drivers. And then they do a study and they find out it only helped like, you know, 100, you know what I'm saying? So you got to be careful with this kind of stuff. I mean, the whole, what Redneck and I has always pushed here, what we've always strived to be here is about the drivers. We need to do better. And us current drivers need to do better. We need to demand that the companies we work for, the customers we haul for, the carriers we lease to, that they do better. You know, pay better, stand behind the drivers more, you know, and quit undercutting all the little tick for tack stuff that we see all the time, where we see that, you know, oh, I can't pay you that much, but I'll add a little bit on surcharge, or, you know, that kind of stuff, you know. Hey, I sat here for an hour. I should have paid attention. Well, that customer doesn't pay attention. Well, why do we even agree to take the load if they won't pay attention? You know, that kind of thing. So I think carriers need to start doing that, and truck drivers need to start demanding it, you know. where I work, you know, they're trying to go complete paperless, and it seems to be that they're fighting it because there's a lot of people that work in the higher offices that their job is dependent upon, like, what do they call it? The compliance part of it, you know, and all that. And there's a lot of people that they hire that they say, okay, you got to go through all this paperwork because we still did paperwork. So you got to go through all the paperwork and make sure everything's been done, everything's filed correctly. Well, when you go paperless, those jobs aren't required anymore because you don't, you know, so they're fighting that. And they're trying to figure out a way where they can still keep those jobs where, you know, normally it would take five people to do a job in a week. It only takes one person that job to do a week. You know, I remember when I was working as a dispatcher and we had to do a report every month. And what happened was is inside the computer, a lot of times the load would have on it, it would not have any revenue because somebody forgot to put some type of like cost on that load or a revenue structure on that load. So we would get a report. We would have to go through manually and look at all the loads our truck drivers did and write down all the loads that showed zero revenue, because then they would have to go through and make sure, okay, well, if it said zero revenue, are they empty moves or are they, you know, customers that pay one big bulk lump sum? You know, we need to file it with the right correct deal. You know, it's kind of like, what do they call it? Cost code or something like that. It's a revenue code. There's a code you put in the system that flags it to be billed to a certain place or to a certain customer or to not be billed, you know, to be billed to a certain terminal, that kind of thing. So we hated doing it. We didn't like doing it. Most of us did it by pen and paper. And then I come up with a way to cut and paste over to a spreadsheet. And people didn't like that because the old school guys didn't like to use the computer that much. So they didn't like, you know, because then they said, well, let's do it that way. And they go, no, you can't, you know, I don't like doing it that way and all that. Well, then the big boss comes in and says, we don't have to do those reports anymore because the name that all the computer experts deal algorithm, you know, in the system. They built a report to be filed and it runs every once a month and it picks up all those zero revenues. So now we have a program in the system that not automatically, but the big boss can run a report in the system without having to ask everybody to do it. And we loved it because we were the ones having to do it. And that allowed some, most of us to keep focusing on the job at hand, which was getting the drivers paid, getting them miles, getting them home, that kind of stuff, you know. And it gave the other guys that didn't weren't that good at that job to slack off more. But when you had a person specifically hired to do that job, then guess what? They weren't needed anymore. So when it comes down to the point, when you go paperless, there's a lot of people that are probably going to be out of a job. Same thing in the training program. They went paperless on that, or they went to where they were scanning stuff instead of faxing it. And so next thing you know, fax machines, you know, they were turned into scanners. And then the ones, you know, it's just same old. You know, when you have an older fax machine that can't scan, or when you have a printer that you can't scan, well, they replace it. Boom, right? Same day with humans. You know, when you got somebody that can do a job, it's just like when you, if you're a person working on the dock, and that, you know, and you're in there saying, okay, I work the dock. That's all I do. I don't do anything else. I maybe run a forklift. I might load some freight. I do the computer work. You know, my job is secure. The problem is that they're having to pay another guy to move trailers, right? On a really small yard, they have to pay two guys. One guy to move trailers, one guy to work the dock and to do the computers. But what if they hired a guy with a CDL that knew how to do the computer? And they just paid him, instead of paying one guy $15 an hour, another guy $15 an hour, what they paid the other guy $25 an hour. They just saved $5 an hour. See, so the thing I always say is keep yourself trained. You know, when I was growing up, I learned computers somewhat, not too much. But as I got older and became a truck driver, I wanted to learn computers. Because by learning computers, I worked my way into the system where I knew about trucking more. I understood it better. Because I knew the computer systems where I worked the job, right? That's what you got to do. You got to say that. Even now today, you know, I work at a smaller company that has fewer people here in this location. So they're like, well, a lot of these drivers hate having to do this stuff themselves. They wish somebody else would do it. And I said, well, you know what? I could come in early and I could do that because I've worked that system before. I could come in early. I can do everything. That way when the drivers come in, they don't have to do that. And he's like, yeah, let's do it. And what it does is it makes everybody happy. And it doesn't cost the company that much, you know, but it's a morale booster thing. You know, there's a payoff there, you know, especially when everything's done. And even the people in the other corporate office, you know, they see it done at a certain time. So they're always like, hey, you know what? You know, we like being able to look at everything at a certain time. That way we don't have to worry about each driver coming in and doing it themselves. So it's a payoff. And that's the thing. It's all about that. And that we as drivers need to understand that paying money to something that is it going to benefit? That's what you got to ask. And really what it boils down to is that we just got to do better. You know, I mean, understand your wealth, understand your value as a driver, and understand that, you know, the more I know, the better off I am, you know. And it's not assuming anything. It's just understanding it and knowing it for truth. You know, I always loved it when I understood some systems way better than the average person, especially the average truck driver. And you go into the lounge and they start talking all this gobbledygook of conspiracy theories and everything. And I'm like, no, that's not how it works at all. You know, I mean, the guy was trying to tell me that the fuel surcharge was paid by the federal government. I was like, no, that's not it at all. You know, I mean, most everybody understands it, but there's some people out there just don't, you know. And I got told several times, you know, we always think, you know, I mean, I say it here all the time too, that the big carriers are undercutting. They're lowballing, right? And they're forcing the rates down. And some of the people that I know that work at the carriers, the bigger carriers, they're like, that's not, I mean, we're trying to get the most money we can, you know? And I debate it with them because it goes, yes, I agree with you. You would love to get the most money you can. The problem is that you're all lowballing each other because you cannot not get that load. So when there's a bid for a contract, because I mean, I saw it with Pep Boys. I used to do dedicated Pep Boys and I saw that. And then after realizing the facility was there in the town where I lived, I would continue to drive by there even after it no longer existed. The job didn't exist for me anymore. They would bring in a different company. Every 2 or 3 years, they would bring in a different company. Because what had happened is that the company I worked for at the time, Swift, I forgot who was, I think it was Dart, was there before them. And Swift just come in lower. And when the bid was up, you know, when the contract was up, Dart said, we're not doing it for that. We're going to have to charge you more because we know how we now know that it requires this amount of work and we're going to have to increase the price. And the other people just come in and they underbid each other because they're like, you know, we can do it for that. Because if you look at all the predictions, then you say, okay, you know, we'll do it for this, you know, and it's lower than the people that actually have done it. And then the next 2 or 3 years, whatever the contract expires, they say, you know what, there's a lot more work involved. We're going to have to charge you more. And then next thing you know, international freight comes in and says, we'll do it for cheaper because they never done it before. Anybody that's ever done the job says, you know what, it's too much work to keep the driver. The drivers aren't happy. You know, we got to pay the drivers more. We have to pay them this unload fee and all that, which you didn't want to pay. So now we're going to have to charge you all that stuff. And they're saying, no, we'll go to the next guy. Eventually, they'll run out of people. Carriers, they have to undercut each other because they have to get the freight because they have trucks to move. They got employees to pay. You know, it's not even just paying the drivers. It's paying everybody else, paying your payroll people, paying your compliance people, paying your safety people, paying your maintenance people, you know, paying your recruiters. All that stuff's got to be done. So you've got to take that load. You cannot turn that load down. You know, the guy that used to run the Dallas terminal for Swift, I mean, his nickname was Book It because he would just book it. He didn't care about if we could cover it, he didn't care. He just get it done, get it picked up. And a lot of times what happens was they would take the Swift trailer over there, they'd pick the load up, they'd bring it back to the yard, and it'd sit there for a week. And Swift would just constantly be trying to reschedule it because they ain't got no trucks to move it. You know, they just got the freight. And it's almost like the hostage taken with the movers, you know, how they had to pass laws to do that. It's almost like that kind of deal where they said, we got your freight now. So, you know, we'll deliver it. We're going to say when, and we're going to charge you. So, you know? So yeah, that's how it goes sometimes where these big companies, they say, well, we're trying to get as much money as we can. But yeah, I agree with that. The problem is that everybody else is trying to get it before you and they're having to undercut you. You're having to undercut them because you cannot turn the load down. You cannot say you can't do it. Now, there might be some instances where you say that, but, you know, it's small potatoes. When these big contracts come in, you know, Tuesday morning comes to mind, too. Tuesday morning was one of those. Tuesday morning had contracts with almost every major carrier because they had a lot of freight, right, especially out of Dallas. They had tons and tons of freight. Well, what they didn't want to pay is they didn't want to pay trailer detention fees. They didn't want to pay unload fees and nothing like that. And if you were there, like if you were a big contractor with a carrier – and you were hurting for freight, and you would call up Tuesday morning and say, can we move some freight? And they're like, no, not right now, because we just got a bill for all of this, the trailer detention fees, and so we're not using you right now. And they said, well, we'll refund those fees. We'll delete all those fees if you just give us some freight. Okay, no problem. And then you get like 15 loads that one day and for the next week. But they keep your trailers. They hoard your trailers, you know. They won't pay unload. The driver unloads out of pocket. So you're almost like losing money on the deal. But in the grand scheme of things, you're keeping your drivers moving. You know, anybody out there that worked Swift the same time that I worked in the late 90s, early 2000s, you know, sometimes they would move empties from Phoenix to Dallas. They would move empties from Dallas to Georgia. You know, they would just move empties. And a driver, especially a company driver, got paid. Whatever it was, loaded or empty, the company driver got paid the same. So they would lose just because they didn't have any freight. There was supposed to be more freight in that area. You know, they projected because they're supposed to do that. Like they do it like 3 or 4 times a day. Like we got so many loads coming out at this time, the next 3 days or whatever. So they say move, you know, send 10 trucks to Dallas, and different terminals got called based on their truck capacity. You got too many trucks, send them this way. And then they would get there. And a lot of times the customer's like, why aren't you picking up my load up? So we didn't have a truck, truck's on its way, you know, and that kind of thing. So it's all that kind of different stuff. It's amazing, you know, really how they move things. And you think to yourself, how do they make any money if they're trying to lowball everything like that? Well, they make it up in other ways. You know, they'll move the freight and they'll spend the money. And they won't make any revenue off of that, but they're keeping their people moving. They're keeping their people employed, right? And then what they'll do is they got the little local drivers go pick up the local loads, and they'll take them to the rail. The rail, the company, the customer is paying Swift $2 a mile. You know, this is back in the 90s. So they're paying them $2 a mile to haul freight from Dallas to Los Angeles or vice versa, right? but they'll put it on the rail for like, you know, 40 cents a mile. And it might take a week or two, but that's okay because they made it up on that back end. You know, they're actually profiting, right? Like, see how it works? You know, they make it in other ways. You got a lot of customers. Some customers come in there and say, I don't care how much it costs, haul my freight. And I'll pay you top dollar to be considered to be, you know, priority. JCPenney for Swift did that for the longest time. JCPenney paid more money to get they call it just in time. You know, we always call it JIT load, right? JIT, JIT load, just in time. We always called it, and it was like that load takes priority. And it always gets flagged. It shows up like in a different color on the screen because those loads take priority. Those loads get picked up. And the funny thing is in the national conference call, the CEO of the company has a list of all the JIT loads that got picked up the day before or supposed to be picked up that day. And each place, each location that those loads are in, they have to say, you got them? You got them? Are you short? You got it covered? Whatever you got. And one morning I was on the call and the CEO of the company was sitting there and they talked about how there were a lot of JIT loads blown. You know, they didn't get them picked up. They didn't run, things like that. And it's because they didn't have enough trucks, right? Everything was hot, right? CEO got pissed. He's like, what the hell? He's like, I want to know exactly what the problem is. And he's like, where are these JIT loads at? And of course the guy's talking about so-and-so many out of this place, you know, Kansas City, Atlanta, you know, Richmond, Virginia, Memphis, Tennessee. And then it says, Dallas, Texas. He starts with Dallas. He's like, what the hell? Dallas, how come you didn't get it done? And everybody's sitting there, and the terminal manager at the time, he's like really stressing, and he's getting ready to talk. And all of a sudden, the COO chimes in and says, well, Dallas has been overbooked for like 2 weeks. He goes, okay, Dallas is overbooked. Never mind them. What about you guys? And boy, I tell you what, that terminal manager, he raised his hands up. Like, he was trying to be real quiet, but he was like, oh, hallelujah. It was hilarious. Because, I mean, it's one of the things. Those companies pay money to be a priority. And they're paying way more than, you know, you normally would expect the companies to get. So when we say they're undercutting, yeah, they're undercutting. There's a lot of spot markets that big companies undercutting, but there's also a lot of customers that are paying them top dollar. Like Procter & Gamble. You see it all the time. Procter & Gamble, you know, they get pulled by J.B. Hunt, Schneider. Those guys contract them out. That Procter & Gamble is paying Schneider and J.B. Hunt top dollar. Okay. So you should be able to, if you're an owner operator and you look at a load like the Procter & Gamble load coming out, you know, toilet paper and all that, don't sell yourself short on those loads. Those loads pay good because those companies book that load. I mean, they got a big contract, and that Procter & Gamble is paying extra for them to be, you know, they schedule the appointments for the grocery warehouses, right? That's always real strict. Well, guess what? In order to get those on time, you got to pay. It should pay good. If you got a broker or an agent, somebody trying to undercut you on that, you tell them, I know what this is. Don't tell me nothing. But yeah, exactly. Tell me what you think. 515-602-9731. Give us a call. And just remember that you can check us out at redneckandeyes.com. Appreciate everybody doing that. And how can we fix driver? How can truck drivers help with driver retention? You know, that's a big question. And a lot of people got different answers, and I got a few thoughts on that. So thanks to DPF Regeneration. You can check them out at dpfregeneration.com, and we'll talk about it more. Come back. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio Live. We'll see you in a bit. I'm
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being supporter of Redneckinize. Redneckinize, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana, and we'll bring it back no matter what it takes. Eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking, are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go, and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch your bandit run.
Just put that hammer down and give it hell. He's bound to die, put it up and truck it.
Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go, and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound up, watch our bandit run.
But each time we talk, I get the same old thing. Always no hooky, no dizzy until I get a wedding ring. My honey, my baby, don't put my love upon no shelf. She said, don't give me no lines and keep your hands to yourself.
Everybody, hey, this is Ed with Renick and I's Radio. Give us a call, 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody listening along. Don't forget to think of our great sponsors, and that's Load to Ride Transportation at ltrtransportation.com. You can check them out at ltrtransportation.com. That's Load to Ride Transportation. There's a little trucking outfit out of Denver, Colorado, and they got a lot of good stuff going. Cool trucks, trailers, plenty of freight, keeping everybody busy. Like I said, they're on the internet as ltrtransportation.com, or you can give them a call, 720-277-0030. We appreciate all their support of Redneck and Ice. So Canada is trying to pay for truck drivers to go to trucking school. And I mean, they say they're taking care of salaries too. I don't know if they're trying to help the companies or somebody, or they're trying to pay the drivers while they're in school. Cause that's the other thing too. In the United States here, a lot of it is if you're going to school for maybe a month or 2 months, you're not getting paid. You're not making any money. So that's always been a bad deal. I even talked to a lot of old school guys that kind of just went into it back in the day, like in the 80s, where they didn't have to go to school. They just, you know, learned it and took a test. You know, some of you even drove truck without CDLs until they learned to take the test and pass the test. And they said, if I had to go to school and then be off of work like that, I wouldn't make it. They said that I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it because I had bills. I had problems. I had, you know, stuff to take care of. Nobody was dependent. I mean, I couldn't depend on anybody else to take care of that. I had to do it. So, and that's probably one of the main reasons why you see a lot of people not going into the trucking industry because of that. So getting the CDL is always a hard part, right? But I could see the bigger companies, you know, they started their schools, and if they were, I mean, some of them may be even doing it where if they had a school, let's say like Swift has a school, Schneider has a school. I think Schneider does that where if you get a job, if you get hired by Schneider to go to school, you actually make money. They actually pay you, you know, you get paid. It's not very much, but it's something. You know, at least it's something to live on, you know, that kind of thing. And depending on your priorities, you know, that'd be something that you can look into. But if you're trying to go to work in a certain field, you know, you see that a lot where drivers want to get into the different stuff, but there's no way to do that without actually just going into the door, getting with the big company first. You may not like the big company or you might hate it to death, but that's how you get your foot in the door a lot of times. So you never know about that stuff. But other than that, there's not too much going on in the world of just, I don't know, it just says a lot of accidents, a lot of different things. And, of course, we see the stuff going on with the train derailment still going on. People are feeling sick. They opened up a clinic, and the one guy came out there and told the news, it's not a clinic. It's an actual – they just ask any questions. It's kind of like you go in there, and they ask you, so how are you feeling? And what are your symptoms? And, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10 and all that. And then it's like, okay, thanks. We don't have anything for you, you know. And basically, I think – and he probably doesn't really understand it that well, because if you're not – killing over in front of them, they really don't care. They're like, you know, hey, come back in a week. And the guy's like, I feel like crap. And I was like, well, yeah, I mean, you know, but you're alive. There's a lot of other people probably that can't walk. And what they do is they go off of age, so elderly, or are you sick? Do you have asthma kind of thing? And basically what it boils down to is a lot of these health and human services places and these hospitals and all that, what they do is they get paid money to help out the people that are sick. And that's the thing. And if you're a healthy person and maybe you're feeling a little under the weather, no, you're not. You're not a. That's, we can't make any money off of you. You know, that kind of thing. So, I just think that they're just throwing a lot of paperwork and a lot of attention to make people think they're doing something. But I don't. You know, they said what we hear yesterday that FEMA has finally given people $1,000. You know, it's been a month now. You know, and they're getting $1,000. Oh yeah, that's a lot of money for a month. For a month, some people couldn't go home for a month. Some people have been drinking. They're having to have bought bottled water for a month. And you're going to say, oh, $1,000. That'll take care of it. Yeah, right. And of course, Mayor Pete, he's gone. He ain't nowhere to be found. It's just same old. But anyway, we were talking about driver retention, and I was asking. I said, what could truck drivers do to help with driver retention? What, you know, if you felt like you're a pillar in the industry where you're a good truck driver, you got good driving record, you got a good work history, you got a good truck, you got a good job, you know, are you doing enough for driver retention or are you not? Could you do more? And my answer to that would be is that I just, creating this platform was one of the reasons why I wanted to help with driver retention and help that. I wanted to get drivers a chance to talk and say, hey, you know, what do you think? How do you feel? You know, what could be better? And of course, bottom line is, in by doing this whole thing for almost 2 years now, it's more pay. Just, you know, we got to get taken care of and stop trying to dick us around with all of your little excuses and your, you know, and of course the problem is a lot of truck drivers out there. I think what you fall into is you fall truck drivers are loyal and they're like kind of, I scratch my back, you scratch yours, or, you know, or, you scratch my back, I scratch yours kind of thing. And the truck driver was always the first one to scratch the back. Well, guess what? They don't always, the brokers, psh, you know, there's too many of them that just never, they don't care about getting their back scratched. You know, they don't care about scratching your back. They want you to scratch theirs, but they'll never return the favor. Cause they'll, you know, there's a few out there that will. I'm not saying they're all, but majority, like 80, 90%, they're just in it, just, you know, haul this freight for me. Well, I can't do that. It's too low. He goes, hey, you know what? Do this for me, and I'll help you on the back end. I'll help, you know, I'll get you something else on the other side. I'll help you out. And I'll say this. 10% of the drivers, when they help you out, it's definitely they're helping you out. They actually go in there and find a good load that's paying good money to you, and you're very happy, right? There's about 60% of them where you haul that load for them and then they'll block your number. You'll never hear from them again. You know, you haul that load and they'll say, I'll get you something coming out. I'll get you something coming back, you know, or I'll do the next one for you, you know, make sure. And no, you'll never hear from them again. You won't be able to get a hold of them. They won't pick up the phone. You won't answer emails, nothing. Right. And then there's a few, the rest of them, where you'll do them the favor. You'll say, hey, help me out this. I'll help you out on the other end. I'll get you something. I'll take care of you. So you do it, right? And then he'll call you up. And he says, yeah, I got this other load. And I need your help again. or it's like I'm helping you out. Here's a good one. Here's a good one for you. Here, take this one. And I'm like, that's not too good. I'd rather something better. Well, that's all I can get out of that area. That area sucks. And he's like, well, you told me he's going to hook me up. And he's like, well, not in that area. I'll get you the next one. Take this one. And then, hey, can you do this other one for me? And then I'll get you on the next one because you're going in a better area. And then they call you up. And, of course, he's got you. He's got you in his hooks. You're going to doing everything for him. You ain't working for another broker. No other brokers, you can't because you're committed to this guy. And now he's like, I couldn't get you on this one, but I'll get you on the next one. Or this one's pretty good. This is good. He goes, I'd like it to be a little better. Can we do a little better than that? And he's like, the guy couldn't do any better. But, hey, it's pretty good for that area. That's the story of my life. It's always, hey, that load's pretty good for that area, and all that. And all it is they're low ending. When they say pretty good for the area, they might be telling the truth on the low side, not on the high side. Because, truck drivers, we want it on the high side, right? It's one of those things where he probably had to undercut it to get it, and the other people were offering and he just lowballed them. And then, of course, he's still in within the frame of the market value of that area. But, like I said, I don't think that many of them are liars. They're just, they're actually just telling you straight up to your face and they're talking, it's kind of like a politician, they're selling you bull crap and they're actually telling you it's bull crap and it's good bull crap. That's good bull crap right there. You should buy that. That's what they're telling you. It's one of those things where they say it's good stuff. And there's too many drivers out there believing it or the drivers are like they got too much going on, too much into it. And they just can't negotiate that well. So they just take whatever they can get because they're already broke. They're already just dead broke. They have no money to even pay for fuel. And they just take whatever they can get so they can keep the truck moving, regardless of whether they can eat or send any money home or whatever. That's how it is these days. But driver retention is a problem. You see that all the time. Even back when I first started, you saw drivers, they would quit and go to the signing bonus, and all that. And what it is, it's the mentality of the driver. It's like, grass is always greener on the other side. I even said that back in 2010. They asked me, they said, what keeps you at a company or whatever? And I said, well, mainly it's that I might see that the grass looks greener on the other side of the fence over there working for the other company. But I'm just learning, now after spending a lot of time in the industry, what I'm learning is that grass might be greener, but it's got to be mowed twice as much. It takes a lot of work to get that green grass. So, are you willing to take the chance over there and go over there? And then, it might not work out, and we see that a lot. So, to myself, I admit to it too. I'll fly off the handle, get a little hot-headed and might make a decision that I probably shouldn't be making. But, you learn from those. You have to learn from those where you might, remember when we were, 16, 17 years old and we just decided not to go to work. And then next thing you know, we didn't have a job. And then a week later, you need a job. It's like, if I just gotten up and went to that job that I really didn't want to go to, I'd still have that job. And it was pretty easy. It wasn't that hard. Then you find out that the next job you got to work harder, or the next job isn't at 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's at 9 p.m. till 4 a.m. And you don't want that. Right. So we learn that stuff. And now as you get older, you just have to keep learning that. You have to say, this is better. This is worse. Or this pays more. This pays less. Make the decisions and swallow. You got to swallow your pride every now and then, Stick up for something that you can stick up for. Don't stick up for something that you're just going to flop at. It's a don't, what is it called? Don't pick this to be your sword that you die on. Some things aren't worth the big fight. Others are. I did that too when I was at Swift, and I was trying to be a good owner operator and I was actually sacrificing revenue to myself because I was standing up for what I believed to be doing right. You got to do right by the owner operators, do right by these drivers. And I'm sticking up for it. I'm not going to haul your freight until you do what you're supposed to do. Do what's right for the drivers. And they would say, fine. And they would just, you know, go find somebody else. You know, so I didn't make any money that day, you know. So I had to learn from that. And I, you know, sometimes you got to, they sometimes they'll bluff and they'll give it to you. Other times you just got to say, you know what, ain't worth it. Let's get to work. You know, that kind of thing. So, yeah. What do we got here? We got about 5 minutes left. So just knocking things back. I was trying to Google more trucking news, and really it's not. I mean, there's a lot of accidents. It says here, a pedestrian bridge collapse after dump truck crashes onto it on the west side. Looks like that might be San Antonio. It says KSAT is a news organization. It's so funny to me that, yeah, this is San Antonio because it's got SAPD, unless it's San Angelo. Or what's a... But then there's two dead, three injured, and semi-truck fire explosion near Miami. Highway Patrol identifies man killed following fuel truck explosion collision along North Carolina 87. Kansas City fire truck driver charged in deadly crash that killed three people in Westport, Kansas City. That's in Kansas City there. Good Samaritans pull man from truck that crashed into pole in Midtown Tulsa. Roofers, stolen truck found, vehicle stripped, tools gone. What else is new? That's in Wichita, Kansas. And Gresham pedestrian killed after a crash involving U-Haul truck. And that was today. It says Gresham police. Where's Gresham at? It's in Oregon. It says Fox 12, Oregon. And the video, the picture shows the U-Haul truck sitting on the railroad tracks. So... crazy stuff in Oregon. Let's see what's next here. Maybe there's something there. Okay, they say ATA truck tonnage index increased 0.7% in January. Yeah, it went up a little bit, which means says advanced seasonally adjusted. See, and, you know, it's so they use the big words all the time, and it's like, is it good or bad? You know, and they increased. Well, we're supposed to say, well, that's good, right? American Trucking Association advanced seasonally adjusted for higher truck tonnage index rose 0.7% in January after increasing 1% in December. In January, the index equaled 117.1 compared with 116.2 in December. 2015 was 100. Says ATA recently revived the seasonally adjusted index back 5 years as part of the annual revision. Says tonnage has increased nicely in the last couple of months, said ATA chief economist Bob Costello. I suspect that some of the gain is attributable to capacity coming out of the network, especially those carriers that primarily operate in the spot market and or bought expensive used equipment in the last couple of years. It says this would push more freight to contract carriers, which dominate this index. And that's what it is. It's contract carriers. What advanced seasonally adjusted for higher truck tonnage index. I mean, is that not just, I mean, come on now, you know, let's make a, Freightliner only with one drive axle tonnage index. I mean, you know, come on. You know, it says the not seasonally adjusted index, which represents the change in tonnage actually hauled by the fleets before any seasonal adjusted, equaled 112.7 in January, 0.4% below the December level in calculating the index. So adjusted for seasonal. See, it's so what they're saying is that it's bad, but because it's winter, it's supposed to be bad, you know. And I'm like, you're just making stuff up now, you know? I mean, really, that's all it is. Just like I said before, you know, this is bullshit, but this is good bullshit. You should believe this, you know? So, yeah. Says travel center expansion plans mean 1,500 more truck parking spots. Loves. You know, we got big fans of Loves here. I like Loves. And it says this was today. Yep. And it's in Truckers News, truckersnews.com. And it says last week was a big one for the truck stop travel center industry in the span of a few days. British oil mega company BP announced it's buying Travel Centers of America. Ooh. Love's Travel Stop announced its plans for 2023, including opening 25 new locations. Trucker Path announced its top-rated truck stops. New York State Thruway Authority opened one of its remodeled and expanded service areas. It says, following up on Love's announcement, the Oklahoma-based company plans ought to be good news for the truckers as part of the plan to open 25 new travel stops this year is a creation of 1,500 new truck parking spaces that equals to 60 new spots at each location. It says when drivers responded to the latest survey of industry concerns of the American Transportation Research Institute that said truck parking was their number one concern, in the same time survey, motor carriers ranked parking as their 10th most important concern. It says the creation of 1,500 new truck parking spaces is easily dismissed as only 1,500 parking spaces by truckers who struggle daily to find a safe place to park at the end of their driving day, and there are plenty of such drivers. Well, so that's my biggest beef is that, yeah, the truck stop's going up, but it's not where I want it. It's not where I need it. You know, I drive up and down Interstate 35, okay? The truck stops are needed, you know, down around San Antonio. They're needed on either side of Austin, okay? But they're like an hour north of Austin, okay? And there's hardly any truck stops at all in between Austin and San Antonio. Remember the Rip Griffins over there in New Braunfels, now a TA, right? It's a big parking lot. It is maxed out because there are no truck stops. I always thought that Love's would benefit from building, now that they've upgraded that intersection. It's now an overpass and a bridge. The bridge goes over the road, and there's an intersection there. It's actually a big intersection. They're building like plants and facilities over there behind the Walmart. If you guys know New Braunfels, there's that Walmart right on the highway. They're actually building stuff behind that Walmart down that road. So that road that you would always exit to go to TA, it goes east, like into that area where they're building, and they're expanding that, making it bigger so they can pull trucks up and down that road. So there's going to be a lot of shipping going on and out of there. Love's would actually benefit greatly. I just think it's really hard. New Braunfels probably doesn't want another truck stop. You know, New Braunfels got a truck stop at the bottom of the hill. They got a truck stop, but then if you look at Google Earth, there's a Buc-ee's right there. That Buc-ee's is four times as big as that little truck stop on the other side of the highway, and no trucks are allowed at that Buc-ee's. No trucks. That's wasted land, in my opinion. Okay, it might get a lot of car traffic, but when the truck drivers are needing a place to spend the night, they can't. There's not enough parking. And then now you got this big shopping center that won't let you park there. You got a Buc-ee's that won't let you park there. There's an HEB that won't let you park there. There's that little truck stop that's full that's only got like maybe 10 or 12 spaces. And then you go up to the top of the hill and there's TA and that's it. And it is full. I mean, they are parking in the fuel island because there is just maxed out. Right. And it's a 24-hour shop, which means it's busy too, because there's nothing else up and down that road. There's a Pilot just south of there and it's full and it's hard to get to. You know, they just opened a Quick Trip. That's at 280. Is that 280? No. 180. 180 is where the Quick Trip is, and it's only got like maybe 15 spaces. It's not a big truck stop. It's a good place to stop and get something to eat real quick, use the bathroom. You know, that way you can get the truck in and out. But it is still a pain in the ass. You know, and then there's nothing else until you get down into San Antonio, and then you got to get on I-10. To get to the big truck stops. There's still not enough, you know. Then you got these big closed down shopping centers where it's a big, huge shopping center. I mean, I'm telling you, it is huge. And they've got some stores, maybe a lot of empty facilities, no trucks. You know, you try to go park there, they'll run your ass off, you know, and that's got to stop. So yeah, only 1,500. Yeah, I'll buy that. A lot of truck drivers say, that's it. That's all you got. You know, I mean, that's a lot for one you know, for one truck stop, which they are there continue. They're the only ones, you know. They're supposed to be putting up a TA or a Petro Express south of San Antonio on 37. I mean, that sign's been up there for 2 years now. Like what? You know, Loves, you see the sign, it's like done, right? Quick Trip. You see the sign, TA, Petro? Nah, we'll get to it. Well, that's it, guys. I'm going to call it, and let me see what I got here. What am I doing? What am I doing? What am I doing? Oh, you know what? Wait a minute. I know what I'm going to do. So I was listening to some other music, and I know there's a lot of listeners out there like, what the hell are you listening to? And it's good stuff. Good music. There we go. Boom. Starts off nice, isn't it? So anyway, go check out redneckandeyes.com. Don't forget to go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. It's growing. We're really proud of it. And that you can find links to all that at redneckandeyes.com. And we're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody listening along and listen to me rant and rave. Call in and tell me what you think next time. I'm going to get off to work here and try to make some money. So check out all of our great sponsors at Load to Ride Transportation at ltrtransportation.com. That's Trucker Tools, truckertools.com. Download their app. And there's DPF Regeneration. You can give them a call at 800-634-3010. That's DPF Regeneration, 800-634-3010. That's DPF Regeneration at dpfregeneration.com. Thanks for all their support. And like I said, you guys have a great night. Keep it safe. And keep it between the ditches. And we'll see you out there on the road.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and Eyes was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a redneck and eyes.